we don't put students on the path to be computer science engineers. Our approach has always been and will always be that we just think a foundational fluency in computer science will set you up for any field you choose to go into.
Hi, I'm Ed Meyer, and you're listening to the Business Forward podcast. Business Forward helps local business leaders fix Washington by bringing Washington to them. Subscribe to our podcast to hear conversations between policy experts, elected officials, and local business leaders about important issues like climate action and affordable health care. On this episode, we'll be talking about reforming high school to prepare students for the future of work with Washington Leadership Academy's co-founder and chief operating officer, Natalie Gould. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. Natalie, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about Washington Leadership Academy.
Yeah, so WLA, as we call it, has a mission to prepare our kids to thrive in the world and change it for the better. For us, that means that our graduates are college-ready, have career-ready tech skills, and lead change in their communities and the world. We're a relatively new public charter high school located in the District of Columbia. This is our fourth year of operation, so this year we have our first graduating class, and we serve about 400 students.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
So one of the big emphasis areas, I think, at WLA is computer science. Are high school students ready for a heavy emphasis in computer science? And what does that mean for their career path?
Definitely. So at WLA, computer science is a mandatory four-year progression. So we actually treat CS like a core subject the same way you would English or math or social studies. We find that our students not only are ready for it, but they really thrive. It is a really cool creative outlet. And honestly, all of our students have grown up being consumers of technology. Lord knows all of them have phones in their back pockets. It's pretty awesome to teach them to be creators of that technology as well.
And when you were forming the school for 4+ years ago, how were you thinking about the future of work and computer science? Was this strategic? Was it just something you implemented after you started the school?
It was always part of the core vision of our school. I actually co-authored our charter a few years ago, and I can very distinctly remember standing in front of a whiteboard with three big headers up at the top. And one was, what are kids required to learn for high school? What are the state and local regulations? What do they need in order to get into college, which of course are slightly different than the state and local regulations? And then there was this third bucket, which was the one we really cared about, which is, what do students need to be able to succeed in the modern world? And it was that bucket that obviously made us get up out of bed every morning. Computer science, I think, is sort of the place where practical skills meet academics for our students. When we talk about transforming and reforming high school to make it aligned to what students really need in a modern economy, I want my kids and students like mine to be at the forefront of that work, because honestly, the status quo has really disadvantaged them the most. Our computer science teacher always likes to say that computer science is a language of power, like the written word, like the law. And if you don't understand that language, you will be subjected to the influences of those that do understand it. And for my students, we have a student population that's 1 in 4 of them as a student with disabilities, 1 in 6 of them is defined as at risk by the Office of the State Superintendent of Education. 70% are free and reduced price lunch. Like, they deserve to be at the forefront of a system of power. And I think computer science is what will give it to them.
As a former management consultant, I love nothing more than a good whiteboard session. So I can just picture myself in that room. That would have been a very, I'm sure, engaging and exciting moment to really create the mission of your school. Tell me a little bit about what this focus on computer science has done for WLA in terms of its popularity, the demand. Like, what has the response been based on this computer science focus?
Yeah, so we sometimes bring a 3D printer to our recruitment sessions, which is always fun. So we are a truly open enrollment school. DC has a huge citywide lottery where any student attending public school, whether run by a public charter or run by the district, everyone goes through the lottery. And so it means that student recruitment is sort of at the core of what we do. And we have been really blessed that we get a ton of students who are interested in us. We have one of the longest wait lists for a standalone high school in the city. And we have a lot of students who are enthralled by the idea of getting to do computer science for all 4 years. Something that I think is particularly compelling in our pitch is that we don't put students on the path to be computer science engineers. Our approach has always been and will always be that we just think a foundational fluency in computer science will set you up for any field you choose to go into. And so other schools in the district that even offer a computer science program or a class or two in high school frequently pair that with a career trajectory. We think of computer science as part of just discovering your passion.
And what kind of results have you seen from the work you've been doing and the education you've been doing, and how do you quantify those results?
Yeah, so I think we're up to at least 10 students who are now certified professional web developers.
Wow.
Which is pretty exciting. We have multiple students who have used computational art to design patterns and art products and then have actually sold their products on an online store. So that's always exciting to sort of see your academic skills being crossed with entrepreneurship, particularly at the high school level. But one of the things that we're most proud of is our AP computer science results. 100% of our sophomore class takes the AP computer science principles exam every year. So we've had 2 years of testing thus far. Both years we've been recognized by College Board for female diversity because we've had at least 50% of student test takers be female, which is pretty exciting. But we also are pretty obviously dramatically changing access for computer science in the District of Columbia. About 50% of AP CSP test takers come from our school. By our estimates, 90% of the African American students who passed the AP computer science exam came from WLA, and 1 in 3 girls who passed the AP CSP exam came from our school.
That's remarkable. So I imagine with these skills that your students are learning, they are going to be marketable in the job sector after they graduate. But
they already are.
Yeah. Well, tell me more about your internship program.
Yeah. So we actually already have students who are able to earn money on the side using their CS skills. I mentioned that some of them have stores on Etsy, but some of them also are just able to create a website for their dad's moving company because we've taught them how to do that in class. And that's pretty exciting. We've had multiple nonprofit organizations reach out to us and have our students actually build websites for them. One student actually gave his teacher a wedding registry website as a gift after
awesome.
His teacher got engaged, which is very sweet. But as you mentioned, we also have a pretty robust internship program during our students' junior year. And again, that is really intentional around that third bucket of activities. What does it take to thrive in the world? Well, you need practice being in the world. And so few schools actually do that. So we facilitate an internship placement for all of our juniors. They spend time on Fridays actually off-site working at a nonprofit organization or a government agency. And it's been really exciting to sort of watch them step into that new environment and really succeed.
So a lot of schools have difficulty, you know, cramming all of the requirements into the school day that they need to do to teach kids. And I know the value of computer science, and it's very clear from the examples you've provided. But is there a trade-off? Are there other things they're not getting because they're getting such a heavy dose of computer science? Like, help us think through that potential trade-off.
Yeah, there definitely has been some trade-off. You know, I think some of the courses that other students would get as electives, we've essentially said this time is dedicated to computer science. And sometimes kids like that. And honestly, sometimes they don't. It is a core part of our model.
And kids know that coming in.
They do. But the other thing is that we have been really straightforward about who we are. And we've also had to get somewhat creative with how to make sure our model still meets the requirements. So, for example, our juniors take a computer science art class that technically counts as an art credit for the city. That's definitely more computer science heavy than I would imagine any other art class that's happening across the city.
Natalie, what can be done you know, either policy wise or, you know, the incentive structure to make sure that there is more of this kind of computer science learning at the secondary school level?
Well, look, I know how difficult it is to accomplish all of the things that a secondary school is tasked with doing. And to add something like computer science to the mix is quite challenging. We have always felt that we have the opportunity to do some pretty cool things to try to make as much of that available to the general public as we can, because there's a lot of kids out there who deserve access who don't currently have it. So we are working over the course of the next few years to take our computer science program, modularize it, and make all of that as open source and freely available as we possibly can. Not every school can create a 4-year mandatory pathway the way we did, but I think most schools can do something, and we'd like to support them in doing that. And then the other big driver that I think could be extremely powerful is a push through higher education. And to the extent that colleges are willing to accept computer science credit and expertise rather than some of the other requirements, foreign language, for example, comes to mind, which is, I have nothing against foreign language, but I would say that students who are able to be professional web developers certainly are fluent in another language, even if that will not enable them to order off a menu in another country. And for schools to honor that instead of some other requirements, I think would be extremely powerful and give high schools more of an opportunity to play around with some of the requirements.
Natalie Gold, thank you so much for sharing your insights and experience with us here on the podcast today.
Thanks so much for having me.
For more information on Business Forward programming, visit businessfwd.org. The Business Forward podcast is a production of Business Forward, hosted by me, Ed Meyer, and Jim Doyle. Produced and engineered by Alexia Lipman and Alex Passanen. Special thanks to our Director of Programming, Jana Platt. Thank you for listening. See you next time.